So we're speaking with Ariana, who is now in Prague. And Ariana, I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about who you are and what group you're working with and what event you're organizing for tomorrow.
Okay. I'm Ariana Middelark, and I work with a group called the International Peace Movement of the Czech Republic, which is the main kind of coordination group for peace and anti-war organizations in the Czech Republic. We're going to march basically the same route that was attempted during the Velvet Revolution in 1989. We're going to do that march tomorrow, except that we're going to turn, at the very end, we'll turn left and go to the U.S. Embassy instead of turning right to go to the castle, as would have been the case in the Velvet Revolution had they ever gotten that far, which they didn't because of the police. The point is that we want this country, we don't want this country to be manipulated by any superpower, and the Czechs have already had enough of the same imperial tactics basically by the Soviet Union, and more than 70% of Czechs are opposed to the invasion of Iraq, and partly that's because this country lived under the occupation of a foreign superpower for 30 years, and Czechs know what that was like. So we're also going to hold a big public discussion forum in the evening on how the war in Iraq has affected Czech democracy, i.e. how the U.S. manipulated the Czech government into supporting the occupation.
Okay, thank you. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what you expect in terms of your demonstration, in terms of police response, and what the general environment in terms of free speech is in the Czech Republic at the moment?
Well, our demonstrations tend to be a lot smaller than they are in Western Europe, more like in the hundreds rather than the thousands, and that's mainly simply because this is a very small country. It's a pretty small town, in fact, and there is a lot of U.S. pressure here, but mainly in the media. Even though most Czechs are opposed to the war, the Czech government sent soldiers to Iraq at one point and continues to support the occupation, and this was largely due to a kind of a diplomatic campaign of by the U.S. in the so-called Europe. But at this point, there's kind of an odd disconnect here, because even though it's a very free and open country in most ways. I mean, you can have demonstrations much more easily than you can in the U.S. and
Oops.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, boy.
The political situation here.
The political situation here. So why don't you just go ahead where you left off.
Well, there's kind of an odd disconnect, because this country is actually, I guess we'd call a liberal or a country that's very liberal in that way. In the traditional sense, I mean, there's generally good freedom of speech, and we have, great universal health care and education system and things like that. The media is actually pretty reasonable most of the time, except when it comes to has to do with anything connected to the United States, and then the media acts like a cheering section, and basically anyone who doesn't agree with U.S. policies on just about anything is cut out of the public debate. The fact that we're having this public debate tomorrow night is a fairly big deal. I mean, there's almost nothing like that. There's almost no press coverage of resistance demonstrations at all, except online, or to label them as anti-American or pro-Saddam or something like that, and it makes absolutely no difference to the media that our movement supported, for example, the Iraqi political refugees and protesting against the Ba'athist dictatorship when nobody else in this country was supporting them, or that it doesn't make any difference that the American community is a big part of the movement. They still call it anti-American, and one of the main problems is that there's absolutely no alternative press in this country. There's freedom of speech per se, but it's for a lot of economic reasons as well, it simply doesn't exist that there would be any alternative media. So the filtering of information is an enormous problem, and Czechs have almost no access to the facts about Iraq or the situation in the U.S. except for fact sheets that our movement passes out on the street, which is pretty limited. And you have to remember, this is a very tiny language, so it's very easy to do a kind of informal censorship, because people can't just go on the internet and check out the facts or the news, because they don't speak English actually all that well. But there is one, you know, in one way we feel very lucky compared to the situation in the U.S.
Oh, so sad.
You know, I think I'm beginning to understand. We're having our wireless internet is kind of.
I didn't hear you quite so well, but I understand. I think I understand the main point, which is, what, you know, why is the press doing it this way? In some ways, it's somewhat of a mystery, other than the fact that there is a lot of diplomatic pressure here, and the press is very involved with Radio Free Europe, which is the main station is here, and you know that's funded to the tune of a lot of money by the U.S. Congress. And it's such a small country that a huge institution like that actually has a big impact on all the journalists that surround it. And of course, there's also big international media corporations that have bought off the small presses here and that sort of thing, which is one of the reasons that there is virtually no alternative press here at all. And that is probably the main problem. I mean, other than the fact that the government is somewhat controlled, you know, there's one way that we actually feel very lucky here. I mean, after Amnesty International lambasted the Czech police for brutalizing demonstrators during the 1999 anti-IMF demonstrations, the police actually really changed their tactics. So that's a one-up for Amnesty International. I mean, our candlelight peace vigils have been attacked at certain points by extremists, but we haven't had one incident with the police in over 2 years. And we were actually pretty outraged in 2003 and last August to see how American demonstrators were being beaten and jailed for no reason. And what happened in New York last year was far worse than the police brutality that sparked the Velvet Revolution here in 1989, which that's what it actually was about.
Wow. So what effect do you think your protest is going to have on policy of the Czech Republic?
Well, again, the protests are pretty small, and they're very much cut out of the public debate. So at this point, we're confined to building a movement through word of mouth and through basic grassroots organizing, and we'll see what can be done. I mean, we've seen it happen in other countries in Europe where there were governments that supported these policies, and people were able to organize around it. This country still, you know, basically still suffers from the after effects of the totalitarian regime that used to be here, in that what we call civil society, or what you would understand as maybe just non-profit organizations and environmental organizations and peace organizations, are very, very much more underdeveloped and kind of on the fringe of society than they are even in the U.S., let alone in Western Europe. So, it you know, we've got a long ways to go as far as that's concerned. One other way that but this is important, though, is another thing we're working on is just community diplomacy between Arabs and Americans and Czechs, because there's a lot more immigrants in this country than there were before, and racism is a truly epidemic thing here. I mean, I know there's racism in the U.S. too, but it tends to be a bit more under the surface, and here racism is very blatant and in your face all the time. I have supposedly liberal college students tell me that every Palestinian 3-year-old is a terrorist, and so we do have a long ways to go here, but those are the things we can actually work on. You know, we work with the Palestinian student group that is here, and I think we've already made a significant difference in kind of bringing Czech and Palestinian student groups together and doing some of that basic community diplomacy that is so desperately needed.
Well, that's really cool, and we really appreciate your efforts, and you know, it's really inspiring to hear about kind of operating under a different system, with kind of a different set of problems basically to deal with. And we wish you the best of luck in your demonstration tomorrow. And I'll also definitely be in touch with you, Ariana. So thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us too. And we certainly wish people luck in the U.S. with the demonstrations today and tomorrow, because we're working in solidarity with United for Peace and Justice and a lot of other organizations over there. And I would tell people in the U.S. just the world really is watching, and it does matter that they protest. If nothing else, you know, when the system does change, you'll be able to say that you were part of the resistance.
Right. All right.
May I say one thing, or?
She won't hear you, but we have one more question, Ariana, if you could just hold for a second.
Okay.
Hey, Ariana. So you mentioned something about not having independent media, independent press. In the space that you're
there isn't very much in the way of independent media here off the internet. There's a few servers that do things on the internet, but there basically isn't very much in the way of independent newspapers, or certainly no radio station.
Okay.
That's what we really want.
Yeah, definitely. So through I just wanted to let you know about indie media.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing if you have one in your city or not, but indie media is
definitely. Yeah, there's one here.
Is there? Okay, great. So that's a great way to globally let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods. So cool. And definitely, if anyone's listening on your end, get some radio stations out there. They're needed. So cool.
Yeah, that is something that would really be needed here. I mean, indie media is a great thing, but again, a lot of the information is in English, and it's also on the internet, which not everybody is not the richest country in the world, and people don't speak the greatest English, and not everybody has the most the best access to the internet. So it's not quite the same situation as it is elsewhere.
Yeah, I understand for sure.
But eventually, I mean, that's one of the things that our movement would love to do is to somehow get some sort of independent media going, because I think that probably would be the single most important thing that could be done in this country in the long run.
Very cool. Well, hopefully we'll be able to keep in touch if you ever need any advice on how to start your own independent internet-based radio station. We're learning as we go, but we're definitely willing to share.
I'll put your number down on that count. At this point, I don't know what it takes to start up something like that, but it would certainly be a great idea.
Cool. All right, bring it on. Right. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Okay, talk to you later.
Yeah, thanks, Ariana. Bye bye. All right, so we're speaking with Chris Maxwell from Halifax, and Chris, I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about what your action is, what you're doing out there, and why you're protesting.
Yes, so we are protesting against the war in Iraq. We're asking the U.S. to leave, because we've actually had a number of people tell us that the Iraqis are actually thinking that it would be better off to not even, that it would be better even without U.S. troops. That they're actually a destabilizing influence. We're also asking that the U.S. Fulfill their usual obligations under international law and pay up with their war reparations and cancel Iraq's odious debt and basically, not only do we want the U.S. military to withdraw, we'd also like the U.S. civil service to withdraw from Iraq, because currently they're they have a stranglehold on the bureaucracy, and really it's just meaningless for the Iraqi, you know, the new Iraqi elected government, as elected as it is under a gun. If nobody's going to listen to them, then there's not really much point in them being elected. So that's a number of the things that we're talking about today.
Okay.
Have I actually lost the connection?
No. Can you hear me, Chris? Hello, Chris?
Oh, yes, I can.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello?
How much of that did you get? Hello?
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, Chris. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the event that is happening in Halifax today. How many people there are, and what you're doing?
Stay away from people. I would say that we have about 300 people is my guess. I haven't actually done my usual volumetric calculation, but just kind of looking at that, that's what I would go with. Anyway.
Okay.
So it's a Scottish march today. We've had much, much larger, but anyway.
Okay.
We're marching with a whole bunch of other people around the world, so you know it's our own little part that we're playing.
Right. But of course, Halifax itself is not that big of a town. It's about like 300,000 people.
Yeah, we have a population of only 350,000 anyway. So,
okay.
You know, we're not a huge place like New York or anything like that.
Right. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about Bush visited Halifax back in December, and I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the reaction to that.
Yeah, well, George Bush decided to come and, well, beforehand, we were told he was going to come and thank us for our hospitality during 9/11. We took a whole bunch they're not refugees. What would you call somebody whose plane is, their flight's been canceled for a terrorist attack? Anyway, so he said he was going to come and thank us for that. But he decided to speak at Pier 21, which is it's now actually a National Heritage Museum. It's the pier that all the immigrants used to come in. It would be very much like your Ellis Island, and so it was actually, you know, felt a little bit offensive that. That he would come, like, I guess it's the irony that he would come and talk at a place where, you know, the gateway for immigration in Canada, when his policies were going so very, very much anti-immigrant. And so that kind of motivated a lot of people. The other thing is that when he actually showed up, he really didn't talk very much about thanking us. He talked a lot more about how he'd like to participate in ballistic missile defense and integrate and become the 51st state and all that sort of thing. So we thought that it was a strange visit. People were so upset that during the day, when in fact most people were at work, I've heard an estimate of about 7,000 people came, and we marched in the street and said that he's really not very welcome here, but he decided to come anyway. The night before, actually, we had a trial to put him on trial for war crimes, and the transcript of that is on our website, if anybody wants to look at it.
Okay, and what is your website, Chris?
Remember to say about it. It was a very thrilling experience, having, like, you know, it's the largest march I've seen so far. So, he's definitely a lightning rod.
Okay, cool. And
are you still there?
Yeah. So, Chris, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about Canada's recent decision about participating for not participating in ballistic missile defense with the U.S.?
Sorry, you're breaking up again. Can you repeat the question?
I'll say it again. Can you talk a little bit about Canada's recent refusal to participate in ballistic missile defense with the U.S.?
Yes. So we in the Peace Coalition have been mounting a campaign about this for a while. There's the obvious problems, like, you know, there's the obvious problems with ballistic missile defense, that it doesn't work, that it's going to break a whole bunch of treaties and create global insecurity. And so we've been telling our government this for quite a while. And it seems that our Prime Minister was actually a little pissed off about George Bush bringing it up during his quote thank you speech, because he had said earlier on in the day that they discussed it, but that they, you know, that he wasn't really asking for any commitments or anything like that. Well, I think that our collective action actually contributed to the eventual decision that they made to actually not participate. And we're actually the only country that's been asked and has said, no, thank you. There's a whole bunch of countries, obviously, that haven't been asked, but of all the countries that have been asked, we're the only one that has said no. And so we're really very, very thrilled with this decision. Obviously, with our the Republicans saying, we really like ballistic missile defense and we'd like you to reconsider, we need to keep our eye on that situation. But right now, the public pressure has been so very obvious that in a minority government, there's really not much that our Prime Minister can do otherwise. And so we'd like to keep that situation going.
Cool.
And this is our contribution to that.
Cool. Well, Chris, I want to thank you very much for speaking with us and on Radioactive Radio, and also for participating in the resistance against the occupation. Thank you very much.
Have you cut out?
Oops.
Anyway, it's been very thrilling to talk to you, and I guess I should get back to the march.
Okay.
So there you go.
Thanks very much. Have a good day.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I think I would have to stand back away from the street so I can hear you.
Okay. So we're speaking with Rebecca, and Rebecca, could you just give us an idea of where you are and what protest you're participating in?
Yes, I'm in Springfield, Missouri, and we're standing in front of the U.S. Marine Corps Recruiting Center at the corner of Kimbrew and Battlefield, which is a major intersection. And there's about 50 to 75 of us here today, and we're with the group called Peace Network of the Ozarks. And this group started back in October of 2002 in protest to the Iraq War. And that's the specific focus and mission of this particular nonprofit peace group, is any anti-war, specifically the Iraqi War.
Okay. Can you maybe talk a little bit about how the war has affected your local community?
How the war has affected our local community?
Right.
Oh gosh, I don't know. I'm not really like a politician or anything, but I just know how it feels to the group here.
Mm-hmm.
They feel really like disenchanted, disempowered. It just feels like just a really big waste of a lot of money. In fact, we have a little counter on our homepage that just shows, you know, how much money is being spent on this. And all that keeps happening is lives are lost. There are no weapons of mass destruction that have been found. So we feel like we've been lied to by government. So it's just really disappointing.
Okay. And what kind of reaction are you getting to your protest amongst people?
It's interesting. It's very favorable for us. We are getting honks. We're getting thumbs up. I mean, I'll be honest, there's been a couple of people that have been supportive. It's interesting, those two individuals, they were males in big, huge trucks, and they pulled up on the sidewalk really threatening to us and, you know, yelling profanities and unkind words. But other than that, it's been really favorable. I mean, there is, across the street from us, you know, one person, lone person saying, you know, I've served my country. What have you done for freedom? But I'm feeling like that individual over there is not even aware of all the things that Peace Network has been doing in the community. I mean, I just started with the Peace Network back in November, and this group has been doing so much, bringing all the peace groups together. There's been a peace fair in December, a social justice fair in January, and they're right now working on the national global marches for peace that are happening worldwide. So the Peace Network does a lot to try to get the message out there for peace and justice for everyone throughout the whole world.
Okay. And what effect do you think that your protest has both locally and as part of the global movement globally? What effect do you think it's basically going to bring about a change in the behavior of the Bush administration?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, for now, I would say it's just that it's bringing awareness to it. I mean, even when we were sending out the press releases to the television and the newspapers, they asked what's significant about March 19th. So it was clear that people just don't remember that it happened, you know, 2 years ago today, you know, the invasion. So we're hoping that it's just a reawakening of consciousness, and we're hoping that these people that are honking their horns and supporting can get involved in the Peace Network. We're signing a petition right now, all of us that are here, and we hope to have that circulated to more people.
Cool.
So that's what we're hoping for.
Okay. And do you think in your community that this is basically the start of something that's going to grow? Do you see this as kind of snowballing?
Absolutely, I do. I mean, I was really impressed to see that there's 100 cities worldwide, and I would guess that there's more than we realize. I'm actually a volunteer working with the Mahatma Gandhi Foundation, because in India right now, they're marching step for step as Gandhi marched 75 years ago. And so there's local marches going out throughout the world.
Right.
And I mean, every week I learn about a new city that's going to be marching, or a new church that's going to be marching for nonviolence.
Right.
And so I feel like the whole world really does want peace, you know, inner peace, community peace. And so I really do feel this will have a ripple effect.
Cool. So yeah, we actually talked to someone from Prague today, where they're organizing a demonstration there. So definitely things are happening in hundreds and hundreds of cities. Rebecca, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you so much. There might be someone else from our group that might call in.
Okay.
Just one of our members has a cell phone. She's like passing it along to people that'd like to talk.
Okay, cool.
All right, Brad. Well, thank you so much for all your support for it, too.
Okay, cool.
Take care. Bye.
So have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
All right, so we're trying to get our equipment situated here. Thank you very much for your patience.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry. Could you pronounce your name again? Is it Joey? Josie?
My name's Joy.
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 Joy, thank you so much. So Joy, this is Aymara. We're calling from Radioactive Radio in San Diego, and just calling to check in on your action in Portland, Maine, and wanting to know more about it and sharing just that information with our listeners, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes.
So could you tell us maybe a little bit about yourself and your organization first?
I'm still having a little bit of trouble hearing you.
All right, cool. I'll speak up. So could you tell us maybe a little about yourself, a little more about your organization, and maybe about the action today?
Oh, sure. I work with a group called Bridges for Peace. We're mostly in the Northeast right now. We normally stand on bridges from 12 to 1 on Sundays, every Sunday.
Great.
We stand for peace, and we have about 20 bridges that participate, but we're doing a special vigil today because of the 2-year anniversary of the war. And we have bridges today in Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maryland that are participating.
So great. What is,
And like, for instance, right now in Portland where I am, we have, I'm guessing right now, we don't have a total count, we have about 50 people, I think, here on the bridge. And I haven't heard from the other bridges yet today, so I'm not sure what the total count is with everybody.
Great. So I guess I have a visual of you standing at the bridge with signs and kind of waving as people drive by, or is that kind of how it works?
I'm sorry.
So are you there with your signs and kind of engaging people or educating people as they drive by, or inspiring people possibly?
Oh, I'm having a hard time hearing you again.
yeah. Short of screaming.
No. Hello?
Hello? Hi. So, what has been the reaction of people as they're driving by the assembly?
Oh, I'm having trouble hearing you, unfortunately.
Oh, so sad. I don't know how much of them are loudly I can scream. Yeah.
Right there. Joy, this is JDJ. Can you hear me?
It's just you're cutting out.
Gotcha.
Hello?
All right. We'll try to make the questions brief, okay?
We
just
want to
know about the public reaction.
Hello?
We want to know about the public reaction.
Oh, excellent. We're getting a very good reaction. Actually, as people go by, they're beeping and honking and giving us thumbs up and peace signs. We're actually getting an extremely positive reaction.
Excellent, excellent. Are there any negatives at all?
I'm sorry?
Is there any negative reaction at all?
I haven't seen any. The reaction, like I said, has been pretty overwhelmingly positive. I mean, every once in a while we get someone who, you know, makes a not-so-nice hand gesture, half a peace sign, as we call it. But mostly we're getting very positive response.
Great.
Great. This is Brad again. So I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about what effect you think your demonstration is having on the occupation.
Well, I think people are happy to see that there's still people out here. Granted, we're not getting as many people as we may have gotten 2 years ago, but we're getting far more than we got or that we would have, say, a couple of months ago. So I think people are glad to see us out here.
Cool. And do you, what are kind of the local effects of the occupation on Portland, Maine? How does it affect your local community?
I'm sorry, I missed part of that.
How does the Iraq War and the occupation affect your local community?
I missed part of what you said.
Okay. I was just asking about the effect of the war on Portland, Maine.
Oh, what is the effect it's having on Portland? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, see, that was one of our happy beeps.
<All right. laughs>
I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely having effects here, because funding to local programs that usually get federal funding has been cut. I know our police department has had to cut back on some services because they haven't received the funding that they should be getting. Because we're a harbor, we're supposed to have all this extra security, you know, from the Department of Homeland Security, but they're not giving any money for it. Several local shelters and things have lost a lot of funding because of money that's gone to the war.
Wow. Joy, was there anything else you wanted to say?
I'm sorry, I missed part of what you said.
Was there anything else you wanted to say?
Okay, Joy, thank you very much for talking with us today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Sorry for the bad connection.
No problem, no problem. And thanks for being patient with it.
Oh, sure.
And we hope the rest
of your demonstration... Thanks for giving me the chance to talk.
Great, great. And we hope the rest of your demonstration goes well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was painful.
So. Pepperbox?
Yeah, hey.
Sorry, is that too loud?
A little.
Hi,
Betty?
How are you? Yes.
This is Queen Bee. Good, good, good. Oh, sorry, am I on the air?
Yes, you are. What's up? What's going on? Where are you?
Okay, I'm at Chicano Park, and I'm here with about 25 people. The main covered area, we've set up an art exhibit with some crosses, and ASD brought down all the photos of all the soldiers who have died, and it's a really, it looks like a big altar. It's really moving, and
that's
we have
beautiful.
Some signs, and there's some food, and they started up like a bonfire.
This is at Chicano Park?
This is at Chicano Park, yeah, and there's some music, and people are doing interviews, and we're going to start having some speakers here. The March from the South Bay went well, they said. It was really energetic. CCAP was there. There was only like 12 of them marching from Southwestern College up here to Chicano Park, but they said the walk was easy, and the police did make them get on the sidewalk, but apparently,
right.
Apparently that was okay because there were so few of them, and they had some time on the streets. So... Anyway, things
good.
Are going good.
Yeah.
I'll call you guys back.
Definitely. What's the crowd like now at Chicano Park?
There's about 25 people here.
Cool.
Not too many, but there's some people from the community coming out and looking at the pictures especially.
That's great. That's wonderful.
And we have food, so people are coming out, you know? but I was listening earlier, and it sounds good, and thank you.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for checking in, Pepperbox.
Okay, I'll call
we'll
back later when we're
Park.
Marching.
Cool, that'd
okay.
be great. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, hello. Hi, this is Radioactive San Diego. We're talking to Chris Lugo from, you're from Think Peace in Nashville, is that correct?
I'm from the Nashville Peace Coalition.
Okay, I've been given wrong information. could you tell us about the organization you work with?
Sure, the Nashville Peace Coalition is a coalition of peace and justice organizations based in Middle Tennessee. And our goal is the peaceful resolution of conflict and end to war. That sort of thing.
Okay, and are you at a protest or rally right now?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're having one right now.
Okay, well, whereabouts in Nashville?
We're having it at Centennial Park. That's like our city's like core park. It's right in the center of Nashville, and we have it's a really beautiful park. We have hundreds of people here today.
Really? About how many would you guess? About how many people?
I don't know, somewhere between maybe about 500 people.
Okay.
I think we've got about 500 people here today, which is a great turnout for Nashville.
Okay.
I mean, it really is. We're in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and a lot of people stand out on the street here, and this is the home of Bill France, the Senate Majority Leader.
Oh, okay.
And it's a very, very right-wing state, so these people are very courageous, and we're really happy they're here.
Okay, is there, what sort of public greeting are you getting? Are people in support that come by the rally, that are walking by,
yeah,
or are you getting...
I'm surprised that, you know, even in Tennessee, which is a very Republican state, there's a growing sentiment against the war. And we're getting a lot of horn honkers, a lot of thumbs up, you know, a lot of cheers. People are generally very positive when they're passing by us.
Okay. Any opposition?
No visible opposition
really?
Right now.
That is excellent.
Yeah, last year we had the Freepers. Are you familiar with the Freepers?
Mm, yes, I am. The
yeah,
people from the Free Republic website.
Yeah, we had quite a few Freepers show up, but now it's not so bad.
Okay. Well, that is good to hear. What's sort of the plan for the day for the protest? Is this a rally of some sort, or is this just sort of a gathering? Are people going to be speaking?
We're having, yeah, we're we're going to be having speakers and music in a little while. We've reserved the band shell in the city park here, and people are starting to also gather over at the band shell for, we're going to be having some speakers. We're having Tim Wise, who's a columnist for ZNet.
Okay, I met him a few weeks ago. He's very good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Jim is going to be speaking. He's a Nashvillean. He's from Nashville.
Okay.
And several other people, several veterans, and we're having some music and spoken word artists.
Could you go ahead and name a few of some of the folks will be speaking and performing?
Sure. Church is one of our spoken word artists. He's from North Nashville, and he's going to be doing some music and some having a little bit of guitar accompanying him. We're also having a woman named Vita, who is also a spoken word artist, and she's going to be reading a couple of poems. They're both African-American. We're having Frida Peoples, which is a drum ensemble. They're going to be performing. We're also having Peter Fossil from Veterans for Peace. He's going to be speaking. We're having Nick Klamath, who is a student from MTSU. That's our largest public university in the area. He's an anti-war activist. He'll be speaking. And several other performers.
Okay, well, that sounds great. Let me see if my co-DJ has any other questions. Okay, well, thanks for talking with us. It sounds like things
great.
Are going great. If you want to give us a call back with a report, we'd love to hear how the day went.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you much.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm going to go to L.A.'s indie media site, see what my homies up in L.A. are up to, see if they've got some protests going down at the moment. Let's see. Oh, police harass protesters on Venice Boardwalk. That's a issue going on in Venice Beach, Los Angeles right now, as they had an area that was called the Free Speech Zone, where anybody could just sort of hop in and set up a table and whatever. Then the city decides, no, that's not a good way to do a free speech zone. A better way is to make people sign up for it, participate in a lottery, pay a fee, and go into a designated slot.
Yeah, and if they don't comply, you beat the hell out of them. That's the way to promote free speech.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know what these darn hippies were thinking before about free speech being a...
Would you tell me, sir?
Say what you want, when you want.
Paper towel, sir.
I'm being asked for paper towels.
Back there. Yeah, this is...
This is a full service radio station.
That's right.
I'm giving out paper towels, doing radio commentary. I'll be selling corn nuts later. But there was an interesting thing with the Venice Boardwalk protests a couple weeks back where when the act went into effect, somebody read the fine print of the law, and it said that if you were going to be in one of these painted designated slots on the boardwalk doing your free speech, you needed a permit. But the law neglected to say what would happen if you were in one of the gaps between these designated spaces. So the folks I know at Axis of Justice LA and Food Not Bombs Venice, they were tabling, flyering, and giving out food in those areas. But now this article here saying two Venice Beach activists were ticketed by the LAPD. Because as we were saying, that's the way to have free speech is to make people get permits and to beat them.
Fine.
Okay, so we're on the air. We're talking with Andy from the Chicago March 19th Coalition. And Andy, you said you were in a police van with handcuffs on. Can you tell us what happened?
I apologize about the voice quality here. I have to have the phone on speaker because I can't put it to my face with the handcuffs on.
No problem. So could you tell us why you were arrested and what's going on?
We were attempting to have a press conference at the corner of Michigan and Oak Street in Chicago. To start our march, the city of Chicago had refused us a permit repeatedly, even though they have accommodated any number of other events at that same location, fought steadfastly against our free speech rights. And it looks like I might be about to be cut off right here. There goes the phone. Yeah.
Okay.
Peacefully on the sidewalk on State Street, which is a well-trafficked thoroughfare, and the police, of course, are refusing Sherry Mecklenburg, who is the corporation counsel for the police department, is refusing to negotiate, and the police commanders on site have said that the police superintendent, Phil Klein, has also refused to negotiate, and, you know, people are now in motion. I'm not exactly sure where people are going. There's probably, I don't know, several thousand people trapped here right now at this park area. People are standing pretty soon that they want to march down State Street. So it does look like, you know, pretty much a standoff.
So do you know anything about the arrests made at the press conference? We just talked to Andy in the police van.
No, I don't know why he was arrested. I was standing about 2 feet from him, and the police just jumped him and grabbed him. He was speaking on the bullhorn. I actually was calling on his code, trying to update him on the tactical situation. The police basically just mobbed him. I think they made him a target because he's been the most prominent spokesperson for our rights to actually march down our own streets, which are maintained with our tax dollars. It just seemed to be a completely outrageous and completely unprecipitated arrest. The police had issued an order to disperse. We were trying to tell people that if they didn't disperse, they could be subject to arrest. And they just grabbed him.
Wow.
It was just a completely illegal, unwarranted arrest, and in the process of advising people that, in fact, their constitutional rights had been canceled by the city at that location.
So you think the police are basically trying to stop...
I'm sorry,
Hello?
I can hear you.
Okay, you say the police are basically just trying to stifle dissent then in Chicago?
I'm sorry, say that again?
So are you saying that the police are trying to stifle dissent in Chicago?
Absolutely. There's no question that the whole purpose of the police position in this has been to do everything they can to suppress any kind of public expression whatsoever where the people are in terms of why we oppose this war. And they have been, there was no reason for this situation to evolve as it did. Absolutely no reason whatsoever. We offered to march on the sidewalk down State Street, and the police refused to allow us to do that. The police have consistently refused to allow us to march anywhere except ghetto streets. And by that, I mean streets that have virtually no pedestrian traffic. It's a way to try to keep our signs and our voices and our flyers that describe the real cost of this war out of the hands of our fellow Chicago residents. There's no question that the entire police strategy here is going to do everything that they can to suppress a public expression where the people are and our opposition to this war. And it's a disgraceful assault on core constitutional rights.
Okay, well, thanks very much for talking to us, Chris, and thanks very much for pushing hard on this issue. We really appreciate your efforts.
All right,
take care.
Thank you.
All right, we're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi.
So we're talking with Michael from the labor contingent of the Troops Out Now demonstration in New York. So, Michael, why don't you go ahead and tell us about your march and rally and how it went.
Well, as I stand here talking to you, I'm in the middle of one of the meadows in Central Park where I would estimate that there are probably 10,000 or more people gathered.
Wow.
The demonstration began with a march of about that size from Harlem down to the northeast corner of or section of Central Park. And it was a very exciting march, very diverse, led by people from the community, predominantly people of color, very large number of young people, and sending a very strong message of bring the troops home now. as part of that, I was with New York City Labor Against the War, and we've been trying to get labor people in particular to come out. And there are, you know, probably several hundred trade unionists here, of various unions. So it's been a very exciting day, and kind of has a feeling of re-energization of the anti-war movement here.
Cool. And what specific issues was your group focusing on?
Well, I think the demonstration on the whole is trying to make the connection between the war abroad and the war at home, and the fact that it's you know, as far as Americans are concerned, at least, it's working class people and people of color and young people especially who are bearing the brunt of the war. They're the ones who are going to having to fight the war. They're the ones coming home in body bags or maimed or suicidal. They're coming home without jobs, without decent veteran benefits or education. And it's also those kinds of programs that people at home are seeing slashed to pay for the war, whether it's education or health care, schools, transportation, housing. All these things are being stripped away to pay for this illegal and immoral war. So that's, I think, the overall message. And in particular, I think labor is here to say that working people have a special role to play, not only because they're the ones who are suffering disproportionately in this country from the war, but also because it's working people both on the job and especially working people in uniform who have really an unparalleled power to bring the war to a halt. If working people in uniform stop fighting the war, the war will not be able to continue. That's what happened during Vietnam. It's already begun to happen in this war, where thousands of people are deserting, refusing to report for duty, trying to get out of the military any way they can, and a growing number of young people are refusing to go into the military to begin with. And there was, in fact, a front-page article in the New York Times yesterday about all of those dynamics. So those are the kinds of things that have been talked about here today.
Okay. We were just talking to some people in Chicago, and there's been massive police repression of the demonstrations there. What's the response been of the police in New York?
Well, we faced a tremendous amount of repression at other demonstrations, including the demonstrations here during the RNC on August 29th and that whole week.
Right.
Interestingly, that has not been the case, at least so far today. The police appear to have maintained a relatively low profile. I mean, they're here, but they're not here in huge numbers, at least not visibly. I'm sure they're on the side streets in large number, but they're trying to be low-key so far. Now, we do have a march and a demonstration at the end of this over to the mayor's house, and it remains to be seen how they're going to behave when that takes place. But this is a permitted march and rally. We fought very hard. They tried to stop us from having a permit where we wanted to go. And as you may recall, in Central Park last year, during the Republican National Convention, they stopped us from protesting.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the movement didn't fight that, I think, hard enough. But this time, the organizers of this demonstration have felt that it was essential that we challenge the ban on demonstrations in Central Park and that we come here. And that's what we've done.
Okay. Cool. And can you talk a little bit about what effect you think this your demonstration is going to have on the occupation?
On the what?
On the occupation.
On the occupation. Well, you know, I don't think anyone here thinks that there's a one-to-one correlation between what we do on a given day, even with this, you know, good turnout, and an immediate impact. But I think there's a synergy that goes on amongst demonstrators all across the country. And, of course, in some ways, the most important demonstration today in this country is in Fayetteville, North Carolina, where Fort Bragg is located and where military families and veterans are demonstrating against the war there. So I think that all of these things, whether they're small demonstrations or whether they're larger demonstrations, has an effect on the overall consciousness and atmosphere. And not only the atmosphere in this country, but the atmosphere in Iraq. Troops in Iraq know about these demonstrations. They read their email. They come back and forth. There are new people coming to the military and people leaving. And so I think that when these kinds of events take place, they help to strengthen resistance, you know, all the way from here to Iraq and beyond. So, again, it's hard to say specifically what the impact of today will be, but I think if I had to say one thing in particular, is that it is the revitalization of an anti-war movement in this country that unfortunately has been way too demobilized over the last year. Right. I think, unfortunately, because many of the anti-war organizations really focused all of their attention on trying to get John Kerry elected, and that meant that the anti-war message really has not been strongly put out there over the last year as the way it should have been. Even when we had 500,000 people at the RNC protesting, that was more of an anti-Bush demonstration than an anti-war demonstration.
Right.
And today, I think the message is focused back on the war, and the fact that, unfortunately, again, you know, both parties are supporting that war. In fact, just the other day in Congress, the Congress voted overwhelmingly from both parties for another $82 billion of funding for the war in Iraq. So I think, in a way, this is a declaration of independence from that kind of subordination of the anti-war movement to any political candidate or any political party, and saying that we need to be out there, regardless of who's in office or who isn't in office, to make sure that we bring the troops home now.
Right. And Michael, one more question. What's next for your group? What is going to be the next step?
Well, there are various demonstrations, I'm sure, planned around the country in different places. There is no next step yet, I don't think, in terms of an international day like today. This is, of course, the second anniversary of the war in Iraq.
Right.
And a year ago, there were major demonstrations, much larger, in fact, than today. Today, I think, is hopefully the rebirth of a mass anti-war movement in this country. And I think it will give heart to people to figure out what the next step is. We do know some things, that it's not just about coming out on a particular day for a demonstration, important as that is. It's also about looking at where ongoing day-to-day organizing is taking place in critical areas, by which I mean, for example, the movement against military recruiters in the high schools and the colleges, which has exploded in the last few weeks and months.
Right.
Here in New York City, we just last week had three City College of New York students arrested and assaulted for protesting against the recruiters at that school. There was a major event, I know, in San Francisco also last week at San Francisco State, I believe, organizing against military recruiters there. We have this growing movement of resistance within the military and to the military in a variety of different places. And I think that that's going to be really a central front in this whole resistance.
Cool. Well, thanks very much for your time, Michael, and
hope
the rest of your march and demonstration goes well.
Thanks a lot, and good luck to you, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm talking to Neil from, according to my notes here, which I did not take, you're from the Vision Action Collective, is that correct?
Yes, I am. I'm from New Brunswick.
Okay, and it also says food.bombs here, you're part of both?
Yes, I am. We actually kind of did a joint rally here today in Fredericton.
Okay, great. Yeah, and so you're Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. Could you tell me about what went down today?
Well, today is actually the first Food Not Bombs event for this version of the chapter in Fredericton. We set up a rally with more of a party for peace with live music, drummers, served a couple of different types of soups and other different warm meals for everybody who came out, and just basically had a good time and showed our objection to any sort of occupation in anywhere in the world, I guess.
Okay, so, and this was out in public at a park someplace out by you?
It was at the City Hall in Fredericton.
Okay, and you were saying hot meals. Is it cold up there right now?
Oh, yeah, it's probably about 0 degrees Celsius.
Oh, I'm very sorry. I'm in San Diego right now. It is much warmer than that.
I can imagine. It snowed a bit here off and on today, but other than that, everything seemed well, and everyone braved the weather, so that was good.
Okay, and what sort of public response are you getting from what did you get from the political action today?
Generally, it was a really good public response. We probably had about 100 people out today. Everyone seemed to be really open to us. There was a few people that came, I think, probably just looking to cause trouble with different, basically an anti-protest protest, but it was three of them, and they couldn't really silence us, so that was a good thing.
Oh, so the three-person counter-protest was unsuccessful.
Pretty much. We kind of outnumbered them by quite a few, so.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Yeah, do you know who those people were? I don't know, down in the States, we've got this group called Protest Warrior.
That's where they got the signs from.
Okay. So the three-person protest warrior contingent.
Exactly. I'm not sure that they have any really affiliation with them. I think it was more a neoconservative group from the local university. So.
Okay.
And so you were talking, you're saying that it's not, wasn't just an anti-war, it was anti-occupation both of Iraq and everywhere?
Exactly. It was a call for an end to occupation of any country and any sort of unjust occupation, unjust war throughout the world, and just basically a call for peace and a party for peace.
Okay, and was there any trouble with police, any police presence?
Actually, the police didn't give us any trouble at all. A couple of them drove by, didn't even bother to stop. There was no presence at all. Everything went well. Like, we pretty much controlled everything. There was no problems with any of the participants or anything. So.
Okay, that's great. And so with your Food Not Bombs chapter, are you starting to do regular food service out there now?
Yeah, what we plan to do is there's a local park called Officer Square, and we plan to do it on a weekly basis every Saturday, kind of have like a tam-tam where basically we bring together the whole community just to get out there and make music and have fun and try to feed as many people as we can.
Okay. And that sounds pretty good. Do you have a website for either Vision Action Collective? Well, actually, tell me about the Vision Action Collective as well.
The Vision Action Collective is a group of like-minded individuals through Fredericton. There's about 8 of us, I believe. It started 4 years ago as 3 photocopied books and a couple of CDs that they set up as shows, and now we have a full-fledged bookmobile where we get information from distributors like AK Press, Arbiter Ring, out of Manitoba, Chris Blabedeb out of Montreal. We set up at shows, like we set up the Rise Against shows in the Maritimes here. Mm-hmm. And what we're working towards is basically to build like a community center and fair trade, vegan, organic cafe and alternative bookstore to kind of bring everybody, all the elements of the activist community and just some community in general together in Fredericton to basically prove that we can work together to make things better, I guess.
That sounds great. Is there, for either your Food Not Bombs chapter or for Vision Action Collective, is there a website people could visit if they wanted more information?
The website is visionaction.no-ip.org, and we have an email address at VAC, which is VAC, at mutualaid.org.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. I'm glad to hear that the protest was a success and the Food Not Bombs was a success, and I wish you good luck in the future.
Great, thank you very much.
All right, you take care.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, we're on. Who are we talking to?
My name is Albert DeSima, and I'm calling from Chicana Park. We're
okay.
All down here, about 100 of us, getting motivated to walk up to Balboa Park for the anti-war march.
Okay, great. How many people do you think you got out there?
We got about 100 people out here right now.
100? Great.
Yep. And we'll give you a call as soon as we get to Balboa Park.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you much.
Bye.
Hey, Joe, thanks for talking to us.
Sure.
You're out in Tucson, Arizona?
Tucson, Arizona, that's right.
Okay, and are you with an organization down there, a political organization?
Well, I work with Tucson Peace Action Coalition, and we have a peace demonstration today sponsored by 20 local organizations.
Okay. And where is that taking place? Is that going on now? Is that going on later today?
We started out at 10 o'clock from Catalina Park, and we marched 2 miles over to the military recruiter's office on Speedway here in Tucson, and we're picketing. We have another half hour of picketing. We do our picketing at the recruiter's office or the target. So we had a rally from 10 to 11 and then a march, and now we're picketing the recruiters.
That's great. Is the recruiters normally open today?
They are open Saturdays normally.
Okay.
I don't think anybody went in today, though.
Okay. Is the office open, though, and you're just, people are choosing
really
not to go?
I didn't really look over there.
Okay.
Well, we did check, and they're normally open on Saturday.
Okay.
They never close. They're having a hard time getting recruits for that a miserable war in Iraq, and they're really hard up, and they never rest.
That's what I hear. So how many folks you think you got out there?
Well, we had about 300 participating, counting cops and dogs, 400. but we had a rain. It rained the first 2 hours. We got up this morning with rain, and it was raining. And we probably would have had 1,000 people.
Wow.
The rain, I thought it was going to be canceled, but we still had 300 people brave the rain and March in the Rain, and in Arizona, we're not, you know, rain is kind of a scary thing where people aren't used to it. You know?
Yeah. I'm calling from San Diego. It's the same sort of thing. People see the rain,
so,
and they get scared.
It was fantastic, and what we're gearing up for here in Arizona is President Bush, that son of a Bush, is coming here Monday to
talk
about privatizing Social Security, so we're going to have an extra huge thousands of people come out and picket him on Monday.
Okay, where and when is that going to be?
That's going to be 10 o'clock Monday morning, that's the day after tomorrow, at the Convention Center. We're going to be on the east side of the Tucson Convention Center.
Okay, and what's the public reaction been to the picketing?
Oh, it's honk, honk, honk. That's why I had to get in my car to talk to you, because it's everybody's honking support. Tucson's not a Republican town, and people here are pissed at this war and want to get out. So we have a lot of support from people driving by. We march down Speedway. It's one of the main drags in Tucson because we just love hearing the honks of support and solidarity from.
I'm glad to hear that.
Our fellow citizens here.
Okay, so, I mean, in this picketing outside of the military recruiters, is this a one-time thing, or is this going to be something that you folks are going to keep on doing?
There's a vigil here every Wednesday from 9 to 10. It's been going on for over 2 years, but that's like a small peace vigil, a regular thing. But we contemplate that one of the things the peace movement needs to do is we've been doing a lot of large actions every few months. You know, we did something on Inauguration Day. We had about 800 people, and we did things at various times, but we're thinking that we need to start focusing on recruiting and a few other issues. So that's one reason we picked this, is we think the peace movement needs to focus on, because they come into our schools and they just really heavy-handed recruit young people and lie to them. And one thing we did is a bunch of people signed the Pledge of Resistance, you know, today. We broke the law and pledged to do everything we can to urge people to refuse to participate in the war, including active duty soldiers. So,
so
dozens and dozens of people signed up today.
Okay, yeah, and then you're talking about the outreach to young people. I think something you might want to do, have you, you know, there's the one portion of the No Child Left Behind Act, which says that schools have to give personal information of students to military recruiters unless the students ask them not to. I found a website the other day that actually has the forms where you can print out so that students can sign it and not get their information given out. I don't know if those, because I've been trying to find those forms and haven't had much luck.
If you can email that to me, I'd appreciate it. I'm sure people would use it here.
Okay. There's the website. It's militaryfreezone.org.
Militaryfreezone.org. Very well.
Yeah, it's a new campaign, the punk band Anti-Flag and Punk Voter. I think they're the ones gearing up for that.
Very good.
But, people want more information about you folks and the protests coming up and the anti-war movement in Tucson. Where should they go? What's a good website for them?
They should go to peacecalendar.org.
Peacecalendar.org?
And they find out about all the peace and justice activities in Tucson.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, well, thanks for talking with us. I'm glad to hear the demo went well, and keep on fighting.
Yeah, thank you very much, and same. Bye.
All right, take care. Bye.
Okay, we're speaking with Sonny from Boise, Idaho.
Yes. Yeah.
So what group are you with, Sonny?
I'm with the Idaho Peace Coalition.
Mm-hmm. How many people have you gotten to get out today?
We have about 400 people gathered here on the steps of the Capitol.
Really?
Yeah.
Great.
Heavy police presence?
I'm sorry, what?
Was there a heavy police presence?
No, we had one officer on a horse. He kind of just made sure everything was safe as we walked through the downtown area. And, no police here at the site. Everything's peaceful, and we're having a great rally here.
That sounds good. Sounds
very
good.
Yeah, we have Amy Blickenstaff from Military Family Speak Out. She talked about her brother who was killed in Iraq, kind of brought a personal note to it, and we talked about the cost, the human cost of war, as well as the social, economic, and spiritual cost of war. We've had several great speakers, and we're doing open mic now, so people of the community are getting out here and talking about what's important to them and why they want to end this war.
I see.
About the town, if it's a conservative town.
What kind of politics are in Boise?
It's pretty, as far as I'm sure as everyone knows, the state is a red state, as they call it. There's a lot of conservative Republicans here, but there's a pretty good peace movement, and I'm very glad to have connected with this group when I moved here from Colorado this year.
I see.
This past year.
Do you have any veterans from either this war or other wars at the rally?
Yeah, we have the Veterans for Peace. They're here. We had a Veterans for Peace, Tim Teeter, speak about the cost of war. We just had another Veterans for Peace read a statement from the veterans from the Iraq War. They couldn't be here today because they had some kind of meeting or gathering, but he read a statement, just finished reading a statement from them about the cost of the war and about how they were told that they were there, you know, going to Iraq to liberate the people, and they now see things a little differently once they've returned.
I see. So has there been a lot of recruitment done in the Boise, Idaho area? How are the recruiters in Boise, Idaho?
The recruiters are all over in the high schools. They're all over campus. They're everywhere. I recently heard about a conflict because one of the students at the high school questioned what the recruiter was doing, questioned the actual promises that were made, hearing that maybe the promises don't always materialize in the end, and the student was actually kind of reprimanded for it and taken out of class for a couple hours and questioned. And some of the other high schools actually have had some good luck with getting the recruiters out of their school by setting up a peace table in opposition to it, just kind of to offer another view on things. And since it caused some controversy, they decided to remove both.
I see.
So that was one way of getting the recruiters out of the schools.
Right. Okay, well, I hope you have how many more hours do you have of the demonstration?
Well, we have a list of people signed up to speak. They're each speaking for about 1 minute. I'm guessing we probably have about 20 people signed up right now, or that's my guess.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's going to keep on going throughout the day.
Another half hour or so, I would guess.
All right. Well, it's good hearing from you, and I hope the rest of the protest goes well.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for the call.
Righto. Bye.
Okay, peace.
Hey, what's up, everybody? We're listening to Radioactive San Diego. We're on the phone with Jacob, who's calling from Memphis, Tennessee. And Jacob, you're from the Mid-South Peace and Justice Center?
Yes, that's right.
And what's going on in Memphis today?
Well, today has been a great day in Memphis for Peace and Justice. We've seen about 400 people on the streets in March to Overton Park, where we're now having a very large rally with speakers and some great music from the Tunnel Clones. So
that's
really
great.
Been a great day, and
What's the police presence been like?
The police presence has been zero. For the first time ever in Memphis,
wow,
we haven't had to adhere to their restrictive permitting policy left over from the Jim Crow area of the modern South. So we don't have any police presence here whatsoever. There's been none all day.
Wow, that's great. You know, that's been a sort of general theme, I think, for a lot of cities that we've spoken to. It's been very little police presence, which is surprising.
Yeah.
It's very surprising.
Well, maybe the police is finally waking up to the fact that the vast majority of people calling for an end to the occupation are actually focused on nonviolence.
Definitely,
so.
Definitely. But tell us a little bit about Memphis and its politics.
Memphis is a neoconservative blue pond in the middle of a giant red state. Its politics are very based. People vote on color in Memphis, so that kind of muddies the political scene here. But it's starting to turn towards a more progressive view. We've been finding that the occupation of Iraq has really galvanized those people that agree with the values of the progressive movement here, are starting to be drawn to our events and into the movement in general. So we're starting to see a turn here in Memphis, and it's getting really exciting here.
That's great. That's great. Do you have much of a youth presence out today?
Yeah, we have a large contingent of high school students as well as a very large contingent of college students here today. As well, with the older crowd definitely out, of course.
Wow, that's great. We spoke to someone in Nashville, actually, earlier today,
mm-hmm,
who said, you know, it was a pretty good presence out there, too. They had about 400 people, and it was pretty successful.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you know much about the politics in Nashville, but they were saying that it's a pretty conservative town.
Yeah, but Nashville is definitely more conservative than where we are.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Is there anything you want to add for anybody who's listening?
yeah, just we hope that everybody else's actions are going as well as ours are today, and solidarity with everyone. So
awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks, Jacob. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Okay, peace.
All right, we got somebody on the air from Chicago, Chicano Park. Okay.
So,
So we're marching down 12th Avenue heading for Sabo Park. I'd say there's about 40 people here. Peaceful. It's going well. Just wanted to call in and let you know that we're on our way down to Can you hear?
Just barely. Present swipe.
Okay, I gotta go.
What? Hello?
Band here, but
cool. So tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
Well, we've got a march. We're just going over the Burrard Street Bridge, marching right into downtown Vancouver, and got some music going, so it's a bit loud. We got close to 5,000 people up here in Vancouver, and
wow.
This is a big tradition in Vancouver with the Peace March, but especially since the war in Iraq, there's been constant mobilizations. Last year on the anniversary, there was a huge one, and we've got a decent turnout again here as
Great.
Well. We have some big speakers. Dr. Walden Bello is here to speak at the rally. Also, Dar Jamel, a reporter you might know, who's been an American who's been in Iraq, covering what's really going
on. So, what is the police presence like in Vancouver?
The police presence?
Yeah.
No trouble from the police. They're actually just, you know, sort of helping out with directing traffic or whatever.
Wow, but, that's great. 5,000 people. That's wonderful. And so there hasn't been any problems at all. It's been entirely nonviolent.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there isn't anything like direct action planned with today's march, although there have definitely been those types of anti-war activities. And so there's a strong tradition of that as well in Vancouver. This week was International Day Against Police Brutality, and there was a march here in Vancouver. And but today's action is a nonviolent mass demonstration, for sure.
That's great. So tell us a little bit about the politics, I guess, of Vancouver. I mean, is it progressive? Is the politics
of the city in general?
Sure, yeah.
There's a lot of progressive people. We've got some lousy governments. At the civic level, we have a sort of center-left coalition right now, which, a number of the city officials have helped out with the anti-war movement, for sure. So that support has helped us along. Vancouver has a very strong anti-war tradition, and the movement here has been very clear in opposing not just war in the abstract, but occupation and empire, and places that they're concretely happening, from Iraq to Haiti and Palestine as well.
That's great. And you are part of the Stop War Coalition?
Yeah, I'm just one of the volunteer coordinators with the Stop War Coalition. It's a pretty broad-based group. We have 160 endorsers, that's organizations and individuals. We've pretty much been organizing continuously since before the U.S. invasion of Iraq.
Wow, that's wonderful. Wow, it really sounds great out there.
Okay, and just so I can tell people here, do you have information about some of the rallies in the States?
Everything looks great. A lot of the actions are pretty consistent, about 400 or 500 people in different areas, Tennessee, Chicago. Unfortunately, some folks in Chicago got arrested.
Really?
Yeah, but otherwise, everything is going great here in San Diego. The actions are pretty good. Everyone's converging at 2 o'clock today. But everything seems overall pretty nonviolent, pretty peaceful, and a really strong presence, so that's great.
Great. Yeah, well, we're inspired up here to see the American people, again, sort of getting the anti-war movement going, and, because there's no election to tie people up anymore. It's really important that the American people and Iraq veterans as well are starting to speak out against the war, so we're really excited about that. And, of course, up in Canada, we have some war resistors, and anyone in the American Army who doesn't want to serve, we want to offer them a place here, and
right.
We hope that our government will give them refugee status. That's another issue going on up here.
That's wonderful. Wow. Great. Thank you so much, Derek, for speaking with us today.
Okay, thank you. Okay, good
and
luck with everything.
You too.
Bye.
Have a wonderful day. Take care.
You too. Bye.
So, hello. Your name, sir?
My name is Jay.
And where are you marching to?
We're marching through downtown. This is the South Bay Resistencia March, meeting at Pueblo Park at 2 p.m. Here's the audio.
I see.
We are the people fighting for peace. Fighting for peace.
Hello?
The war.
Hello out there.
Everywhere we go.
Everywhere we go.
People want to know.
People
want
to know.
Who we are.
Hear this?
Yeah, I can hear that.
Okay, we're marching through downtown right now. There's about 100 of us, and we're going to be there soon.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, great, man.
So what's the police presence been down in downtown San Diego?
What's that?
How has the police presence been in downtown San Diego?
The police?
Yes.
It's okay, man. They're surrounding us, but they haven't done anything yet to us. They're blocking the street for us right now. We're walking off the trolley path.
Okay.
All right, here's some more audio.
We are the people. We are the people. Mighty, mighty people. Mighty, mighty people. Fighting for peace. Fighting for peace. We're against the war.
All right, see you later.
Okay.
All right, Ellis, what's up, man?
Yo.
Where are you right now?
We are on Park Boulevard, marching to City College right now.
In San Diego, right?
In San Diego?
Yeah.
Yes.
How many people are with you?
Me?
Yeah.
Probably like 50.
That's awesome, man. What time did you get down there? What time did everything start?
We took the trolley down to, I forget the stop, but we got off and we walked to Chicano Park, met up with everybody, and they had a little free last poetry thing happening, and tortillas, rice, and beans, and everybody ate. What?
Nothing. So how much further did you guys have to go?
I don't know, a couple more blocks, and we'll be at City College, and then we're going to meet up with more people, and then we're going to Balboa Park to meet up with everybody.
Yeah?
Yep.
Who's everybody?
I don't know, there's all the different marches in the county, like the North County Coalition for Peace and Justice, and I think there's a few other marches going on throughout the county, and they're all supposed to meet at Balboa Park, I think.
That's awesome, man. So why are you there?
Why am I here?
Why are you there?
I'm here because I'm opposed to the Iraq invasion.
Yeah?
Yes.
Is that it?
It's pretty simple. I think that the United States invasion of Iraq was based on principles that were all a lie. And had there been truth, I probably would not have supported it anyway, but innocent people are being killed for corporations and for an elite agenda, and millions of people are suffering, and that's not something that anyone should be okay with.
Well said.
That's pretty much a reason why everyone should be out here.
Well said, my friend.
Excuse me, tune
back. All right, your name is, sir?
My name is Scott Perry.
And what group are you marching with?
We're with Resistencia Students Heal out of City College, and we got an organic collective down here with us.
How many people do you have with you?
I'd say 150.
And when did you all get together to do this? I mean, how early in the morning?
Well, we hooked up at National City at about 7 o'clock. There's a Southwestern College campus down there, like a little satellite. And we marched from there and then we went to Chicano Park, did like a rally there. Able-minded poets read some poetry. Had a couple speakers, had some food, fed, you know, hung out with some of the people hanging out in the park. It was fun.
I see. So what's the police presence been like?
It's all right. I mean, you know, we got to negotiate with them, and that sucks, you know, but they're basically being fairly polite, so I'm not too worried about it. We're having our march. We're in the middle of the street.
So what are you estimated to get to Balboa Park?
Well, we're going to chill out at City College for a while. Hopefully some more people are going to meet us there. And then the main rally starts in Balboa Park up at 2 o'clock. And there's three different marches, actually. They're all going to congregate up there together.
All right, so where at City College will you be? Are you be out in the front or where?
Yeah, right on the front, like across from that McDonald's on Park Boulevard, McEagles.
Yeah, okay, I know what that is.
Yeah.
Why are you there, sir?
Me particularly?
Yes, you particularly.
Man, I don't know, it's worse kind of full of it, isn't it? It was started on lies. You know, I don't know if you've ever looked at the Project for a New American Century, but all the people in this administration were planning this shit 10 years ago, and then they took 9/11 and used it as an excuse to do this plan of theirs, you know? So, I mean, screw them. They've been totally dishonest with us. People are getting hurt. I have friends over there. I want them to come home. You know, it's a foolish thing. They've lied to us. The media is dropping the ball and not telling us the truth. So we need to educate people. We need to let people know that this war is based on a bunch of crap and that we need to bring our boys home. We support the troops. We want them here with their families, not over there dying for somebody else's lives, somebody else's oil.
All right. Well, thank you, and I hope the protest goes well.
Right on. Thank you, guys. You do good work there.
Right.
All right. Peace.
Righto. Bye. All right, so Charles, you're on the air.
Excellent.
So why don't you first introduce yourself and say who you're with.
My name's Charles Chamberlain. I represent Democracy for America, Miami-Dade. That's the local Miami version of the national group that started by Howard Dean.
Right on.
We're down here in beautiful, sunny Miami, Florida. It's a nice 80-degree day with
there you go.
Crisp sun. And about just under 1,000 people standing
wow.
out here in front of the Torch of Friendship, which is one of the major meeting spots. We're just on the street from the heat.
That's incredible, man. It's rainy here, so we'll trade you weather.
Wow, beautiful San Diego gets beat out by beautiful Miami today, huh?
Exactly, I'm telling you. So what are you guys doing today for the second anniversary that marks the war in Iraq? What are you guys doing today, and what are you going to do today?
Well, what this is it's a large-scale demonstration for Miami. 1,000 here is a really great turnout for anything that doesn't have to do with Castro.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's really a great turnout. We just had a political rapper play. It really got the crowd into a frenzy, really loving it. Right now we have a priest, not a priest, I'm sorry, a father from the Friends, pastor, who's you know, doing an invocation. And then we've got a bunch of speakers, a labor speaker, a senior speaker, a student speaker, all representing the different sides of communities affected adversely by this war.
That's awesome, man. So
yeah.
what's the police presence there? What's it like over there?
Actually, surprisingly, you know, we had a counter-inaugural demonstration on the 20th, and they totally overdid it with the cops. They probably had at least 200 cops out here.
Really?
Everybody on bikes and, you know, a few people on horseback. Today, though, they've really lowered the presence significantly. It's pretty nice. Surprisingly, there's only a few of them around, and they're not cordoning us off like they did last time or trying to push us into a smaller location. So I'm very pleased with the City of Miami's police department this time.
That's totally awesome, man. Well, congratulations on everything. Can I ask you a personal question? Why are you out today? Why are you out today protesting?
Well, I'm out for a couple reasons, one of which is that it's vitally important that Americans see that just because this president was reelected doesn't mean we need to stay at war.
Yeah.
You know, the press has done this this anointing of George Bush since he was reelected as if everything he says is gold. Not that they were much against that before, but it seems like it's even gotten worse. And it's just time. Americans need to see that there are a lot of Americans out here that are against this war and want to see the troops come home now.
Yeah.
And that we aren't standing for these lies anymore.
That's awesome,
so,
man.
So that's why I'm here. Definitely, that's the biggest motivating factor.
Yeah. Well, I want to congratulate you for coming out today, and there's actions all over the world.
It's excellent. How's the action in there in San Diego going? How many people you got?
Right now, there's like three different marches going on, and they're all going to meet up at 3 o'clock. And from the ones we've heard from, there's about 100, 110 people on each march, which is awesome.
Oh, that's great.
And we just got a question from someone on the internet that wants to know, what is the impact of the occupation on Miami in the local community?
Well, you know, recently one of the ministers is going to be speaking today, representing part of the Haitian community, is a pastor that has buried 4 men within the last 3 months.
Really?
That have not come home, well, or rather have come home from Iraq, unfortunately, in a body bag. So you're talking about, you know, a war that is impacting us very distinctly and directly here at home.
Right.
And that's just one minor community in this, you know, multinational community we have here. It's amazing. Beyond that, you've also got to keep in mind the fact that we've got healthcare clinics closing in every one of our schools
right.
in the next 2 months here in Miami-Dade because there's not enough money to fund it. And, you know, we all know that the reason why that we don't have enough money is because we've got a president that's spending $300 billion on Iraq.
You're damn right. All right, well, thanks a lot for calling, and keep us updated throughout the day, and we'll call you.
Excellent.
And it's just awesome that you're out there. There's people protesting all over the world, and it's great that you're a part of that.
Well, it's great to be connected from coast to coast. We're all working together. You know, we got to remember there's millions of us worldwide that stand up against this war.
That's right.
4 days later.
All right, take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. My copy.
All right, so Tom, you're on the air. Why don't you, who are you and what group are you with?
Well, I'm Tom King, and I'm a lifetime resident of Salt Lake City, and I'm with People for Peace and Justice and also the Green Party of Utah that kind of helped sponsor this event today here.
And what exactly are you guys doing today?
Well, we're having a rally with some speakers. Right now there's a guy... songwriter singing a song. We're having a rally after a little march through Salt Lake.
That's awesome.
Pickets and signs.
The usual.
Yeah, just the usual, showing our dissatisfaction with the current administration policies being carried out on people all over the world.
You're not alone in that viewpoint, I'll tell you that. So how many people are there with you guys today?
I'm guessing there's about 300 people here in downtown Salt Lake with the rally.
And how does the war affect your community personally?
Well, you know, I keep hearing, we just had our legislative session end here in Utah, and the funding for the most vulnerable people in our society, the elderly and the poor,
right.
has been drastically cut. The school lunch program funding has been cut.
Yeah.
Community action programs have been cut. We've lost funding for Medicaid.
Wow.
So that, you know, elderly and poor people are even, you know, less likely to be able to have their medical needs, their health taken care of here in our community.
Right.
So, you know, it's impacted us pretty hard in that way.
Definitely.
And those of us who have compassion and morals are impacted pretty hard by the horror of bombs, you know, blowing people up so that there can be geopolitical control of the energy resources.
I 100%. So what are you guys doing later today?
Later today, you know, I guess we'll be just living our lives as we can.
Yeah.
We're going to be having, I guess, a slate of about 6 speakers. We have some military families and veterans groups that are going to speak against the war.
That's awesome. And you mentioned that there was some other actions going on in Utah, other cities in Utah?
Yeah, it's my understanding there's demonstrations in Moab, Utah, Park City, Utah, Logan, Utah, and Orem, Utah. And Orem is a little surprising. That's one of the more, your listeners might know that Utah is renowned for predominant religion.
Right.
And Orem is one of the predominantly concentrated places for that religion.
And there's an action there today.
Yeah, there's a demonstration down there today.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So there's people all over Utah, all over the United States, and all over the world that are protesting and out today and saying no to this totally unjust war. So that's awesome that you're a part of it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you guys are helping let people know about it.
Yeah. Well, everybody's doing what they can.
Okay, that's all we can do.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you.
Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.
Hi. So you're on the air. So why don't you introduce yourself and what group you're from?
Okay, this is Jan Cruz, and I'm calling from Champaign, Urbana, Illinois.
Right on.
And we are at One Main in downtown Champaign. The group that is sponsoring this is AWARE, Anti-War, Anti-Racism Effort.
Awesome.
But we are co-sponsored by probably 20 to 25 different community organizations.
That's great.
Right now, a young law student who has family in Iraq is speaking to a crowd. It looks to me like maybe we have 50 to 100 people. I'm not good with numbers, so it's somewhere in that range.
No, that's awesome. So how has the war in Iraq affected your community?
The community that I live in is a university community,
uh-huh.
So, you know, there's a little bit more activism maybe here.
Right.
But we've reached out and tried to find out how it is affecting the local people who have family in Iraq.
Right.
And there is a number of people from that community here, and they've been somewhat fearful, of course,
uh-huh.
of speaking up, because the young woman that's speaking right now has a grandmother that's there.
Right.
So that's one of our efforts, is to support that group.
Uh-huh.
And then we've also been, to some extent, involved with the religious communities, the Mennonites and the Quakers, but mostly it's been based on community activism that's brought us, most of our group, together.
Right. So right now you're listening to a speaker, and are you doing anything else later today?
Yes, she's one of many speakers. We have a gentleman from Military Family Speak Out. He drove over from Decatur, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
We have another speaker who is representing the Black Studies on campus. We have music, a couple of musicians that are going to be performing. And we have every corner here at the intersection of Maine and Neal. We have folks standing on the corner with huge signs, probably 3 foot by 2 foot, showing child casualties, the cost of war, soldiers that have been killed.
Wow.
We have a banner across the street that says Central Illinois says no to war, and we're just a few feet from the traffic that's going by, so we're trying to bring a presence to the community as our main objective, kind of to let some people know that, you know, we're still concerned and they should be too.
Uh-huh. And just, can I ask you really quick, what effect do you think that your protest and actions and the global protest that's happening right now, what do you think the effect will be on the actual occupation, and why are you out there?
Well, we're hoping that, you know how it goes, a few people may be afraid to step forward, and we're hoping that the fact that this is global, across the world, across this country, and across our state of Illinois, that people that were maybe on the fence, maybe not sure, but wondering if it was okay to speak up, are going to join us.
Uh-huh.
We've been out here before we went into Afghanistan.
Really?
We've been holding a presence monthly. First we did weekly, now we're to monthly protests, so we've not gone away.
Good.
And we are hoping our numbers are going to grow, and that more people will speak up, and that eventually, if the people lead, the leaders will follow.
That's right. And so how has your guys' protest and speakers, how have they been received by the community?
The speakers that we have invited today?
Uh-huh.
Well, the speakers that we've invited today, we publicized it in the newspaper. We had the local TV station was just here. The newspaper is a half a block away, so we're hoping they're going to walk down and
yeah.
cover it. You know, I see a lot of familiar faces here,
uh-huh.
but we are right in the middle of a central downtown Champaign. So, you know, folks that are driving by, if they want to walk over or stop their car, there's parking lots nearby, they can certainly come and join us. I mean, we get a lot of thumbs up, but, you know, there's still a few people that need a little persuasion.
Do you know of any other actions that are happening in Illinois later today?
Yes, I know there's a number of events in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
We were, you know, invited to go up there. Cynthia McKinney is speaking up there, and we had the opportunity to go and stand with her. But you know, we're loyal to our own community. That's a little positive reinforcement. I think Springfield has something going on. It's Carbondale, which is southern Illinois. So I know of the 700 and some going on in the state. There are a number, or 700 some in the country. There's a number of them going on in the state of Illinois.
Well, that's just great.
Pardon me?
That's just great.
Yes.
So
they're cheering for Roa. Roa, the Iraqi student, just finished her speech, so I wasn't sure if I heard everything you said.
All right, well, we'll let you get back to the speaker.
Yes.
Thanks so much for calling
you.
In.
Thank you for asking us. Is this Brad?
This is Kyle.
Okay, thank you so much for asking us to call in. We appreciate the opportunity to share our event with you today.
And we appreciate you sharing your event with us.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, so Heather, you are on the air in San Diego, and so why don't you introduce yourself and what group you're from?
My name is Heather. I actually live in Minneapolis, but I am here for my spring break to visit some family and friends. I am actually not part of any group. I just decided to put this together.
That's awesome.
Myself.
So how many people ended up coming?
Five? Yeah.
That's better than 4, 3, 2, 1, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So is there any other actions going on in North Dakota?
Nope, just where I had it, just in Minot.
That's good for you. How old are you?
22.
Really? So that's awesome. Is there, like, a big student, like, action or like, awareness, like, where you're from?
In Minneapolis, yeah, there's a lot of things that go on with, like, the students and stuff around the different colleges. But in Minot, there's nothing. So I just wanted to possibly start something, but...
So why...
Maybe.
Why would you, like, decide to start something? Like, why do you object to the war in Iraq? I know it's a pretty big question.
Yeah. I moved to Minneapolis in 2003, October. And I used to have little protests for animal rights, like went for KFC and the circus and stuff. And with the war in Iraq, I've been opposed to it the whole time. And there's been little things in my life that has happened, you know, with the war that people didn't like. And I don't know, I've been totally opposed to the war. And I just wanted to get my voice out, especially in Minot, because not a lot of people pay attention to what's going on. And it just would have been, you know, cooler if more people showed up, but...
Yeah, no, awesome. It's so necessary and great for people to get the word out in places where there's not a lot of people taking
action. There isn't. It's kind of amazing. You even watch, like, TV commercials are so different and so one-sided, commercials.
That's crazy.
And there's in other towns like Minneapolis, so.
Okay, well, we've got a question, so just hold on one sec.
Okay.
Hey, Heather, this is Brad. I think I initially contacted you. And thanks for taking our call. I was wondering, how was you said you had like five people, how was your action received by others in the community?
No one really like did anything bad. Oh, I had a lot of people staring, but I didn't have anyone like yelling anything or, you know, I had some pointing and some staring like by cars driving by, but nothing like, yay, or nothing like, go home, get away from here, anything like that.
Right.
So.
Was there any supportive reactions from the community?
Not really, no.
Oh.
Just the people
sorry.
That showed up.
Okay.
So it was kind of in the middle. No one did anything bad, but no one did anything good.
Right. So is Minot, is it a very conservative town?
Yes.
Okay.
Very.
Okay. So maybe that's not too surprising, the reaction. I just want you to know that we've been talking to people around the country and around the world, and, you know, there are thousands and thousands of people out there and, you know, kind of doing the same thing you are and who are with you, you know, in solidarity. And, you know, and we really appreciate you, you know, making the effort to make this point in a place it's so hard to do that.
I just kind of like doing it too because it's so boring here.
Yeah.
And like maybe start up some little action.
Right.
Maybe,
right.
but
Right.
You know.
So what are the issues that are facing a community like Minot? What are some of the community problems and issues?
I haven't lived here for a while. I don't know, there's like a lot of things going on with, like, there's nothing to do for younger people. And I know when I lived here, like, they had like a little venue called the Liberty, and a lot of kids would go there, like the punk rock kids, but they got made fun of constantly. Like, kids would throw like rocks at the kids outside, and the cops never did anything about it. And I have a friend that's trying to get something started up for bands to play and poetry and things like that. I know that's like a big issue for the younger kids that aren't 21 yet that can't go to the bar.
Right.
And I don't know, there's not a lot of politically active people around here, so.
Okay.
Hard to say like what issues are really important because no one really says anything, you know.
Wow. How big of a town is Minot?
It's not like that small. It's like 50,000 with the base and the smaller towns around it.
Okay.
So, it's not like it's like 100 town people and, you know, 100 people in the town. But
Yeah. I lived up in Fairbanks, Alaska, a couple years ago, and that's also kind of about the same size. It's probably not quite as conservative, but but it's, you know, it's very, a very military town and a lot of conservative people. And,
yep, that's what it's like here.
So I know what it's like, So, but you're going to school in Minneapolis?
Yeah, I go to school in Minneapolis.
Cool. All right.
Yep.
All right. So, so Heather, was there anything else, any other message you wanted to get out?
No, it's pretty cool that I got to talk to you guys because people can know that there are people like in smaller towns that are trying, you know, to get different things out that they care about. So.
Right. And as I said, we really appreciate your doing it and talking to us about it.
No problem.
Okay. So thanks a lot, Heather, and take care.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Okay.